And Catherine Ridley just won the pledge to book.
Raise your right hand over your heart for salute. We begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yeah, go ahead and do a council roll call.
Yeah, sorry.
John Harris.
If you're interested, it's quiet.
John?
No.
Eric Dwayne.
He's on his way.
On his way.
Alexis Garrido. Here. Robert McDonald.
Here.
Catherine Morrison. Here. Michael Radigan.
Here.
Stephen Vargas.
Here.
Stephanie Wade.
Here.
We have quorum.
Thank you. And our presentations, OC Veterans Data Report, Michelle Geary and Kristen.
Everybody, so I'm Michelle Geary. I'm the county's interim CEO. I've been with the county for 35 years and was previously the chief financial officer for 9 years, budget director for 2 years, director of administration for the probation department for a short stint, just a year before our former CEO, Frank Chen, called me back over to CEO. And in budget since like 99, started in 89, so been with the county for a long time. And one of my areas of interest is veterans. And I have been fortunate over the last couple of years to have had more interaction with the some good, not so good, but good, impassable. Not, and I'll explain a little bit. But my dad was a veteran. My grandpa, veteran. They're both buried out at Riverside Cemetery. And also, I'm very excited about the veteran cemetery that's going to be here in Orange County. I wish I had been here for them. It's a rough ride to Riverside, so I'm really excited about that. And when Frank was here and we had a conversation about the cemetery and, you know, an allocation of funding to it, it was like a no-brainer for us as staff. It was like, of course we recommend that, right? It's the right thing to do to support our veterans. And so that's just one example. Wanted to just give you a little bit more background, right, before Lynn's here, she'll talk about the data stuff. But also related to what the county is working on related to the veterans. They're all familiar with the Veterans Cemetery and the work there. And I was fortunate enough to be part of that and working with Nick Ferradino and Bob's team, right? We have our monthly meetings and talk strategy and all of that. And so that work continues. And I think this is one area, right, potentially that this group can help. So I'll talk about that. Veterans are also another focus for the county as it relates to homelessness and housing. So another area of interest for us is something the county's working on. Behavioral health, PTSD. My brother-in-law, so my sister's husband, he was, right after high school, went into the Army, ended up doing a couple tours, right, Afghanistan, Iraq, was one of the individuals that interviewed the 20th hijacker through 9/11, was called to the Pentagon, and basically one of the individuals that was being investigated related to war, we called that. And so I saw what the impact of his experience had on him and my sister and their 5 kids. I've also been fortunate enough that to be in the county's home unit, so our housing unit for military veterans and the individuals that are entrusted in our care. And the failures on, at least what I call failures on the part of you know, there, I would say various organizations, but including the VA for them, individuals who are, you know, sentenced to state prison for crimes I feel like, you know, maybe could have been prevented had they received the services and the help that they needed. And so for me, it's kind of like this whole sense of guilt, right, of what could have been. And because there were victims and there were lives and families impacted. And so looking at all of that and thinking, wow, what, you know, what do we need to do now and how can we get there? And then just working with, you know, individuals, Ted Fuentes, and I'm not familiar with all the politics of the veterans communities and the different organizations, whether y'all like each other, you don't like each other. You know, I'll work with anybody. So for those of you who know Ted, I went out to the equestrian center, right? Saw the horses and the work that he's doing, and just really part of what I'm working on is like, right, meeting people, collaborating, and bringing them together to achieve something, right? So that we have the ability to make a difference, do things better for our veteran community. Long Beach Medical, right? My grandpa, we had to take him to Long Beach to go visit him. We had to go out to Long Beach. I would love to see a veteran center here, a medical center. It's one of the things that we've talked to the medical director in Long Beach about, and also like anybody who will listen to us, right? But when you're county government, the people don't always listen to you. So for me, this group maybe has the ability to help us in our efforts because people listen to veterans, right? So whether it's the feds, the state, whatever organization, you can speak based on your own personal experience and based on the experience of other veterans that you know. You can activate the population, right, to be able to, whether it's, you know, going to D.C. or to Sacramento to work on things like legislation, if it's needed for related to the Veterans Cemetery, if it's something related to behavioral health services, housing, getting a veteran center and a medical center, you know, here in Orange County. I think, you know, we would love to be able to partner and use this group for that purpose. The county has lots of boards, commissions, committees. And one of the things that we're doing right now is we're looking at them, what they're currently doing, and how can we, you know, as county staff, help our board, because the boards, commissions, committees exist, a lot of them, right? Most of them, if not all of them, to advise our board of supervisors. And so, and you're all here for a reason, right? And we don't want to waste your time. And so how can we better serve you as staff, as county staff? And then how can we better serve our board also? And then the community in general. And so one of the things that we're looking at, and Chris Lynn is here. Wave your hand, Chris Lynn. Chris Lynn is the county's data analytics manager. We'll keep it simple, right? And so with the 23-24 budget, the board approved the addition of a data analytics unit within the county executive office. And Chris Lynn is the lead of that unit. And so we've got three people who are working on data day and night, all types of data. And so today, Chris Lynn's going to present some veterans-related data to you. Because what we want to be able to do is base the work that we're doing and our efforts and our initiatives on data. And I think to better support this group and all of the boards, commissions, and committees, we can provide you with data. And then you have the ability to take that data and ask us questions and say, hey, there's this data that's missing. But then we've got a starting point, right, to build upon looking at, you know, data that's related to veterans housing, veterans homelessness, medical, behavioral health, whatever it is. And Chris Lynn will present where we're at today on that. But then it gives us a tool that we can also use to go advocate right? So we've got federal lobbyists, state lobbyists, we have you, we've got our board. And so we've got data that we can then say, we have this many veterans in Orange County who currently have to go all the way to Long Beach for this purpose. And we want this, and this is why. Because again, it goes back to, they don't listen to me, but they'll listen to you, I think. So I'm gonna pause there, see if you have any questions for me before I turn it over to Chris Lynn. I appreciate your time today. It's something that's a little bit different. So I'm hoping you're open to it. This isn't the first group that we did this with. I know I got a little bit of pushback from one of our board's commissions and committees because it was like, what are we doing? This is change. I'm not sure about this. But I promise you we're trying to go in the right direction and we're here to listen to you. And just appreciate any feedback. I'll tell you, I do have a 3 o'clock meeting back at the office. So if you see me leave, it's not because I don't care. It's because I just have another meeting. And this is just the beginning. And Chris Lynn has draft data that she's going to present today. It's a work in progress. And I know we've got limited time today, but we do look forward to your feedback.
I just want to say thank you very kindly for stopping by today and sharing your comments and the thoughts of what we're going to look like down the road and the future. This is awesome. This is a brand new day. This is great stuff. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for all the support you've given veterans over the years and the stuff that you're doing now to make it happen. This is awesome. Thank you.
Some of you I don't even know, but I just love you guys. It's just a nickname, soft spot in my heart for veterans.
And it's also good not to see you in the box.
You know what?
So I echo Bobby's comments. It's really great that you're here. It's, you know, I think we're all really impressed by having that attention from the CEO's office. I just wonder, you know, you spent a lot of time talking about trying to get a VA medical center here. I wonder how realistic that is. I mean, VA is the fastest growing part of the federal budget. It's and they're lots of people want cuts, and especially demographically, veterans are a smaller and smaller portion of the population if we're getting more expensive. So I think the effort has been more community-based care and fewer facilities, and every year they're talking about closing facilities. So I think we'd all love a medical center here, but I think we're probably more worried about, as a group, defending our two clinics here in Orange County, keeping those alive, and making sure that Long Beach doesn't get closed or shrunk.
Those are exactly the types of comments that we need to hear, and that we need the data to be able to support that with the related to Long Beach and here. So we've actually had several meetings with the VA. Supposedly they were, well, this is like all supposed to be confidential, right? So supposedly they were going to be releasing an RFP, request for proposal, for services in Orange County. Our healthcare agency has been actively checking their website for release of that RFP. So that was how we were going to be able to obtain the services and get them here. I don't know exactly what it looks like. And yeah, I mean, the federal government, you think county government's a bunch of bureaucratic red tape, right? That I have very low tolerance for the federal government. I mean, they don't even like want to talk to you. And it's just fascinating. They don't, like, they literally don't say anything. Like, they're not allowed to say anything. It's just a very interesting experience. And so it was like, well, there's going to be this potential for an RFP, maybe. I'm like, well, could you tell me when and like what website? So it sounds like they are aware of the need. One of their challenges is, I think the people in Long Beach, they recognize the need. They would love to expand into here. It's at the federal level is where the challenge is. And then they have their budget cycles, right? So when they were talking about, they're talking about timing. Well, we can't do it now, but maybe we could do it in the next cycle. And it's like, well, what is it that you need, right? So part of that is having a team and the strategy that has the ability to work like under their terms and their terminology and all of that. So I know it takes an army to get this done. And that's one thing, like, I can't do this alone. I don't have the specific knowledge and expertise, but as a partnership and a team, and you all know people, and then I know people, right? And then we've got our legislative people, and we've got federal and state lobbyists that can help. Then I think we have the ability. But that I'm documenting, because that one of the things that we talked about was the clinics that exist here. And I know one of the things that I was hearing was, well, we already have the clinics. And what I would want to hear is, well, then how come they failed the people that I'm talking about? Because if they're here, they didn't get the services that they needed. And so something isn't good enough, right? So how do we work together? Again, I'm not the expert. That's why I'm here, is to ask for your help with all of this.
Is your impression that this RFP is going to be from the VHA side, dealing with mental health, probably housing?
Yeah, that's my understanding. So, except this has been a month, this was like before the holidays, and it's now, HCA is checking on a regular basis. If I just had a conversation with, you guys know Dr. Kelly, right? And she's like, Michelle, do you have a contact name for me for the VA? Because it's not posting, and we keep checking. And so we're going to check back in and say, where is it? But I also know government, you know, to prepare a solicitation will sometimes take months. So I'm trying not to get too disappointed and hopeless yet, because we had even offered, you know, when Frank was here, I had his support to provide, you know, the federal government the land. Like, not like a, if you want to construct your own, you can construct your own. If you want to lease from us, you can lease from us. So it was like, we're willing to kind of do whatever it is that you need. So. So I'm
going to
advise Chris
Lynn.
Thank
you.
Oh, yeah.
Just one correction. You said it takes an army, it takes a Navy.
A Navy.
Give me a break.
I think it takes the military.
Part of the problem, though, right? It's not a competition, it's supposed to be teamwork. Yeah. My grandpa, my dad, my brother-in-law, my nephew, they're all in the, were or are currently in the Army. The individuals that I've been working with formerly, you know, in our Humvee unit, one of them got to be back in our Humvee unit, Navy, she was a medic, and then one of the guys is Marine, so.
Anybody Air Force? So, I'm here to present, as Michelle said. I'm really excited to do this. So, what we are trying to do as the new data analytics team at the CEO's office is to kind of figure out how we can better present information. We're really focusing on reliable, valid data. For a lot of the groups, and similar to how, I don't know if anyone's familiar with the Conditions of Children's Report. So that's a big report that comes out on the yearly basis, trying to kind of put together information for all of our different groups moving forward. So I'm excited to do that today for the veterans, as Michelle mentioned. I also have Martin, who's passing out the handouts. He has been really helpful. He comes from Ventura County as well, and he works in the Demon Services Division, so he's familiar with a lot of this stuff as well. So he helped prepare this today. So what we're trying to do is create, well, first off, my background is behavior change. So I went to grad school and worked on behavior change, really looking at data, methodology of programs, what works, what doesn't, how we can better tailor programs thematically to ensure that money is well spent, efforts are real, you know, well spent and effective. So really excited to bring that here. I worked with the county with alcohol and drug and prevention team. I initially started off there, then worked at the Authority and Quality Improvement Services for data and reporting to ensure we're doing that. From there, I worked with the LA County Office of Education, where we worked with different populations, supported the 80 school districts here and found my way back over here to the CBS office. So really excited, like I said, to kind of bring data forward, how we'll kind of refresh this. So today is we're developing the report, but I'm giving everyone a preview of what we have in the group. I would like to get feedback as we analyze and kind of draft this out for an actual report. So let's before start. So I would like to kind of first off, we like data. I hope you guys do. Okay, I got some nods. That's good. There's a lot of data, a lot of information. So we'll try to go through this as best that I can. And then at the end we can take comments if that's okay. So we can kind of get through this. Okay, so our objectives for today, to go over Orange County veterans demographics, so who are we talking about, how many veterans are in Orange County in particular, looking at other data sources that we had available that we can bring into this report, categories and related data, how they tucked into the different categories, service use satisfaction and needs, because there is data out there related to that, Orange County Veteran Services, information about Orange County services, and some conclusions from this data. So just to start off, using data from the census information. So what does the census say about Orange County? Orange County, yes.
Sorry, what's N? We don't have a sample size here. I don't know how many veterans we have in Orange County.
So I was just going to say that.
Cool.
Okay. I'm glad that I have
that. A big number that's, okay. Yeah, that's.
It's a huge number. So does anyone want to guess?
175,000.
Okay. I got 101,000.
Sure.
25.
A little high.
112.
Okay, well, what the census says, we have 84,200. Five veterans, right? And of all California veterans, we have 6.8% of all that reside in California. So 6.8 of California veterans reside in Orange County, right? And 35.2% are 75 and above. So we have a pretty good population that are 75 and above. And a total of 68.5 are actually 55 years and above. So we have a pretty large portion of our veterans that reside in Orange County are on the senior end of the spectrum.
Where's that number? Where are those numbers?
I just have them on my notes.
Oh.
Yeah, I can share those.
Yes, okay.
Those were the pop quiz numbers. But that's the thing about data. When you give all the slides, everyone pops ahead.
You said that it was a census. What year was that?
So the census does projections on a yearly basis, but the last actually census is done every 10 years. So it would be projected on the 2020 census numbers.
So just for reference, mm-hmm. The other document we have here says Veterans Annual Report of 2023. We're reporting Orange County is 101,607. So you're basing your data off of 2020 census, which was lower at 84,000.
You wanted to do your time, Martin?
This was taken from the 2023 one-year estimate data profiles for veteran staff.
So it's very similar, right? That male is similar, as well as our largest group, like I mentioned, older.
But what about Nick? Sorry. He's older than
you. Okay, so. So when we look at race categories within Orange County and California, we have a slightly higher percentage of white veterans in Orange County in comparison. And another difference here is our Black or African American population, which kind of mirrors our overall population in Orange County, is that we do have a lower percentage of representation in that And then when we look at race, ethnicity, white, we do have a slightly higher percentage in Orange County than overall in the state. And you can see the trends here.
Asian and Black and African American.
So that's, those are race categories.
That's how it's spotty.
And it's separate.
I got a problem with that. Tell it, I got a problem.
It's how it's collected.
I understand it.
Problem. I think many people have problems with how not only race, but gender and other categories.
The thing is, that in the population, the Black population in Orange County is 2%, 2.3. You got 3.7 Black or African American are veterans of that 2.3, and it's not on here. I'm just saying, taking this information and going back in the street with, as Michelle was saying, we need some people, but just that kind of information needs to be here.
Yeah, so what we can do is look hard in the report is, like you said, we can, so this is compared to the state.
And when you stop to think, also you think about the county, 40% of it is Asian, even though we're a minority county. I'm just saying, as we go out and if we're going to be a team, to work,
yes,
that kind of information needs to be.
Which is why we're here today.
Okay.
I'm just sharing.
Okay.
What are you saying is missing, Bobby? What are you saying?
On the other page. On the other page. That right there. That's what we're missing. Either I'm white or not Hispanic or Latino. Or, well, I guess I could be.
No, this is the demographic breakdown.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
I'm getting it. Saying I got to sell it.
Well, and I think this is a perfect example because we have another group that we've been meeting with. We call it the Health Collective, and they have concerns related to how data is presented. And when the county is, we're either using existing data and we're just using it to present, or let's say we get like grant funding, and there are requirements within the grant that tell us you have to survey these populations. It's not necessarily up to us. And so the MENA population is a group that went to the feds, and now they are being recognized because they were not previously recognized in the data. So now they are specifically that population being recognized in the data. And so we're in the process, we're going to be beginning to implement the use of that population, report on the population. So that's where you have concerns. It may not be within our control, but it's something that we advocate for, or you can advocate for. And so it's something that we document, and then we look at it, go back, and then report back to you. These are our options.
Well,
right?
That's fine, because if you're looking at getting the health center, I'm quite sure the VA is going to make sure all those demographics and all those ethnic groups are lined up in. Just saying.
Yeah.
But thank you.
Yeah, and I think so to your point too, this is, you know, in comparison to our California veterans number, but what we can do is also compare it in the report to a county population. So like you're saying, how are certain populations more or less in comparison to our overall county population? We can definitely work on that. Okay, so are the data sources that we're using within what we're presenting today? Is, I think some of you might be familiar with the Southern California Veterans Study. So the Southern California Veterans Study includes Orange County, LA, and San Diego. So what we've been able to do today is parse out only Orange County information. So we can speak just to the Orange County respondents talking to the survey. For the survey, that was a total of 606 veterans within the sampling. So when we do talk about those percentages, that's the 606 that responded. Just to kind of give an idea, that's 19% of those sampled within that study. So when we're looking at this document and looking at Southern California, we're looking at 19% of Orange County represented in this document as a whole. So I think that's even more reason to kind of parse out some of the Orange County and see some comparisons to that overall sampling. So it's about 0.72% of our total safety.
Just curious, out of all the data sources that are available to us now, why you chose this with such a small sample size versus commercially available information, all the other options that you have up there?
This is just a starting point for some of the data sources. Definitely, I'm open to including additional data sources as well. So starting with, you know, how they respond and what opinions and perspectives as well.
And Michael, also over the years, for the last 5 years or so, we've always Orange County and LA partnered to get started in the first place. And they've done it. Orange County's done their own, but this has been valued to having all the groups in Southern California. Okay.
I mean, that's not the demographics. This is the survey.
Survey. No, I understand the survey, yeah. It seems like a relatively small sample size.
It does, but it's also for 606 people, so to consider that too. Yeah. So that's another reason why we're not taking, you know, it's just a voice, right? You have to think of this as community voice and not a fact, right? When we look at these percentages. So another data source that we are able to pull for today, this is brand new, so we get a sneak peek today. We haven't released this yet. It's in the motion, but what our team's been able to do is take some of the information from our older adult means assessment survey. So this was also a big lift for the county to do. And of the responses, there were 451 that were veterans within the information collected. And we thought it was important to bring this information forward also because looking at the older adult population in the survey, it's 55 years and above, which is a good representation of our older adult veterans in Orange County. So the details are okay. The categories that we're taking a look at and how we kind of fit the data into are education, employment, housing, health, healthcare, mental health, social connectedness, service use satisfaction, and needs. So we do know a lot of needs in general for veterans. So what we're trying to do is like, what is Orange County in particular saying about these services? So starting off with education. So the surveys are kind of dictated, the titles of where the information came from. So the brown is consistently the USC study, and the green is consistently the older adults needs assessment study. So from those two samplings of our population, we can see that most veterans in Orange County report having some college or higher education. So that's good news. It's pretty consistent on those two samples. There's very low percentages across the board of not as educated. So you can see the darker orange on both of the graphs kind of represent the same thing. And a big portion of our veterans report that they do not have education.
Does it give an age range in the SoCal veteran study?
I believe it was 18 and above, right, Martin?
Yeah, 18 and above. So 44.2% of that study were 50 and above. So 55.8% were below 50.
Okay, so there's overlap between the studies when you think about age range. There was no way to like isolate it out. You see an overlap or some pretty big differences between 43.9% bachelor degree, and then you jump over the other side at 26.9.
From a data perspective, when we have different samples that are correlating, that's a good thing. We want to triangulate the data, right? So when we have consistency in what we're seeing, because of that overlap, although it's like random, not random sampling, but it's convenient sampling. So theoretically, we could have some of the same, mostly different, probably in here, that we want to see some consistency across the board to make conclusions moving forward. So this helps make the conclusion that most of our veterans are reporting that they have some type of education beyond high school. And we look at employment from the USC study. See a lower employment rate. So just across the county, so when you parse out that Orange County, we have 31.7 having employment leaving the military. Employment status, a lot reported full-time, and job satisfaction was pretty high across the board. So we have less veterans attain jobs in Orange County compared to Los Angeles and San Diego counties. So over 40% of veterans are employed full-time, and slightly over 50% are satisfied or very satisfied with their jobs in Orange County. So looking at that older adults needs assessment, we had a lot of, you know, kind of expectedly, because a lot of retired individuals in that sampling, right? So we had 76% report employee not looking for paid work. But there is that still that category to kind of hone into. Unemployed looking for paid work is about 5% of our older adults are still interested in work. Moving on to housing, looking at some of the findings from that USC study. In Orange County, approximately 17 out of 20 veterans reported having a place to live after their services. Most veterans live with parents or relatives or rented after leaving the military. So when they come to Orange County, that's typically where they report going. But there are that 3 in 20 that don't have a place to go when they come to Orange County service. So when we look at that 55 years and older, what their current living situation being reported from the sample was 64.7 reported that they own their own home or condo. So that's a pretty good fraction of that older adult population having gotten into something earlier in most likely. And then renting is that second percentage of 18. But I do want to mention that the survey had a lot of efforts to go into unhoused groups as well as incarcerated individuals. So we can still see certain percentages, such as the correctional institution. There were 1.8% of veterans serving at the jails. One of the other questions related to housing and the older adult needs assessment is, of those who chose to report, how much was their monthly housing income? This one to be interesting too. It might have some type of correlation to those who reported owning, maybe kind of having a lower housing cost, being a homeowner for maybe a long period of time. So just kind of considering our older adults, 20% were reporting that their monthly housing cost was less than $300. So taking a look at the range here.
Very young doctor. Kristen,
yes.
Repeat what you said about the jails. What was the statistic?
Yes, 1.8 of our individuals surveyed in their veterans in the jail.
Just curious, do we do any outreach to jails, population, incarcerated personnel, as far as a VSO? Do we ever have any outreach to the jails?
Yeah.
Say, depending the what they're serving for, they may not be eligible.
That's one of the challenges.
They're felons, they don't get rights.
So actually, that's not entirely true. A lot of people with bad conduct discharges are now authorized to receive most services.
Right, but are
the
they?
GI prison? Bill is about the only one that ever voted on the prison.
We're talking about people in prison, though, incarcerated. Are those same people incarcerated?
No, I'm talking about the county jail.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about.
The county jail, that's you're assuming that you're talking about, right? Here's them.
This is jail or prison.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I was trying to wait until everybody was out. So there's for us as far as VSO, we have CDCR reports coming from referrals from the CalVet, but we also have the targeted outreach through our Workforce and Economic Development Division, who actually goes to Google DC.
Okay.
And make those references. We do interact collaboration and capacity building with other sources.
Okay, sorry. Thank you. So this report is bringing up questions for us. Which is
great.
So that's
the purpose of it.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say it's great to have the housing for military veterans at the OAC. Not all veterans, right? They're screened and then they're placed in the Humvee unit. But I love it because they even wear the camouflage, and they—it's just—it's inspirational for me. Anyway, so I like offer a tour. I get myself in trouble with the sheriff's department when I offer things like that. But they definitely
your services the best of our ability. Taking a look at health questions that were assessed on the USC survey is there was a question asking them to talk about their perceived health in the past 30 days. And 7 out of 10 perceived their health to be good, very good, or excellent. So it was something. And then when we look overall, looking at the different counties, we were the lowest on this one. So another benefit of kind of parsing that out and questioning us all together, San Diego was interesting. That's almost a 10% percentage, 40% of their veterans saying that they had moderate to severe health symptoms compared to Orange County.
That's the break.
We're around the bottom. Taking a look, flipping it back to our older adult needs assessment, we had most veterans aged 55 and older reported cost of living and economic insecurity to be the top reason contributing to their health issues. So this was an interesting question as to why they think that they have their health issues, and that driver for this one is that cost of living and that economic insecurity. But close second to is that diet, fitness, and nutrition. So maybe that's something to look into. They're also worried about fraud and scams that are pretty prevalent now. So they're definitely not immune to those as well.
Is it that they're worried about it, or is that the fraud scams? They've got scammed out of money, and that's contributing to their inability to access healthcare.
That's 1 in 4.
Yeah,
5%.
I mean,
I think it's a general thing too. The older adults are concerned. There's so much going on nowadays. Texting. But then looking, another question was, over the past 12 months, how much time did you spend as a patient in the hospital? So of our population, we had approximately 1 in 4 veterans spending at least 1 day as a patient in the hospital over the 12 months. So talking about hospitals and healthcare, that's really important, I think, to bring up that a lot of them are reporting having been in the hospital within the past year. Taking a look at the healthcare and services on the USC study, so slightly over half of Orange County veterans received their healthcare from Veterans Affairs and have used the Veterans Health Administration less frequent in the past year. So that kind of correlates to the health symptoms and how they feel a little bit better compared to San Diego and St. Louis counties. We have a little bit slight decrease, but that's like 6 in 10 veterans utilizing those healthcare services in the past year. So we have high utilization there. Satisfaction with their healthcare services. So this one, majority of veterans are satisfied with their services. with the highest dissatisfaction, approximately 3 out of 20, with the Veterans Affairs and TRICARE providers. So interesting, those who have that were a little bit more dissatisfied with those. So flipping back to that older adults needs assessment, most veterans 55 years and older reported having Medicare and private insurance coverage. So that's when they were able to select more than one. So we had a representation of that. We had about 24% saying that they were covered by Veterans Administration. So most veterans 55 years and older reported being comfortable managing their own health, and most ask questions or visit their doctor or service provider in person to find information about healthcare resources. So about most are comfortable managing their own health, so that's good. So we see that about 9%, 10% may not be, and we need help and support in that area. Or four at a time that reported seek information from their actual doctors. Moving over into mental health, as Michelle mentioned, post-traumatic stress, depression, suicide risk was assessed for this one. And high rates, similar to the other counties. Obviously, a big one is that suicide risk, where we have 1 in 4 Orange County residents that are meeting the diagnostic criteria for suicide risk. So that's something to kind of pass over. So on the older adults needs assessment, a question was asked of what contributes to their mental or behavioral health issues, and they were able to select all that five. So the top driver of their mental health issues they're reporting is the politics or political climate, and followed by cost of living and economic insecurity. So these are very close top contributors to what they are reporting as their mental health or behavioral health contributes. When we look at social connectedness, this one's interesting. They are kind of related. So the survey asked this one, but approximately 9 out of 20 veterans feel disconnected, followed by feeling distant and no sense of belonging. So that's important to consider as well when you're looking at residents within each county.
Question, mm-hmm. It'd be interesting, just from some of the things that we're doing out here, and it'd be interesting, is that that's still social connected? Is that broken down to the other female?
No, it is not parts that way.
Okay.
Study that we have access to, at least.
Yeah.
All right. It's starting to be interesting that.
We could try to reach out to USC and see if we can get additional raw data than what they, what they post. We
find it, probably a lot of women veterans. Totally disconnected. That's why I'm asking for that polygraphy. That's why we're doing so much stuff. Yeah, so it's okay to start and ask.
No, that's great. We can go down and see if you can get more information on that. So on the adult needs assessment, we did ask which of the following activities have they done in the past 12 months, and the top one is 83.8% talked or visited with a family or friend, which seems high, but then at the same time, when you think about it, like how simple it is to theoretically talk to a friend or family member, it is something probably concerning. Participated in activities, 50 and below the percentages go. So as far as involvement, especially as our veterans age, they might be less involved in activities and social aspects. So our last category is service use and satisfaction and needs. So this one is gathered at this point. So services utilized are very similar, where employment, security, filing disability are all within that 20% range. Housing is 10% in Orange County being reported. Satisfaction varies as well, with the employment being the most if you categorize control or dissatisfaction with the services. So employment is a highly utilized service, especially for those who return from service. Physical health services are a top concern and also a requested additional service. So it is up there as the top five additional requested services. The barriers to receiving healthcare services was another question asked to an older adult. So approximately 2 out of every 10 veterans reported lack of information about where to get help, which prevents them from receiving healthcare services. So this is another, I think, important thing to consider, is that lacking information and not knowing where to get help also can be a big barrier to this population. So just a general overview, we did add for the county what we've done throughout the past fiscal year. So the Veterans Service Office, how the funding was broken up was displayed in this pie chart. The total was the $2,404,323, and how the different funds were throughout the year. So we also put together by month, so veteran service trend by month, and the total for the full year was 3,876.
Here's one now. I just got it here. So previous to this, these last two slides, that was from the USC survey.
Correct.
So now are you switching us to?
Yes. So now we're
going to our service officer, correct? Yeah.
Our County Veterans Service Office.
Correct.
All right. So this slide and then the next slide.
So now we're
the veterans served in 2023 was 30,000.
Correct. Tell me.
Okay.
And that's phone calls, emails, and appointments.
What's that?
That's phone calls, emails, and appointments all lumped into one. Okay.
But still unique individuals.
Yeah. They could call the office and then come in for an appointment or walk in twice.
That'd be tough twice.
Okay. So it's not necessarily veteran serve, it is services.
Well, serve was at a month time, so unique individual serve would be a different count. So how it's the frequency of service.
It might be helpful because that could be misleading.
Yeah.
At 30,000 unique individuals served, that's not necessarily what's being presented here.
Yeah, which is also why we don't have unique individuals, but we can definitely clarify the language.
Right. Yeah. Veterans served tends to indicate, like when I read it as a layperson, I looked at it and thought, oh, these are individual veterans. So the amount of emails.
That's,
you
know, looks
do you
like
have a number of individuals served?
And then there's an appointment. There'd be no way for us to know.
But after you guys check, like, how many individual veterans you make contact with a year, right?
Yeah.
And then there's a frequency number, too.
Yeah. So this is serviced, and due to the confidentiality of some information, it's not necessarily tracked where we can cross check.
That's fine. It's just I would update the language in, so it's
yeah.
not speeding.
Yeah. Definitely to do that.
Can it be broken? I mean, I know it's confidentiality, but can it be broken down for male and female?
Maybe. We'll look.
Okay.
We'll look. I'm not quite sure what's.
We don't track email.
Okay.
Phone calls happening. Yeah.
But does each individual have a unique ID in your data set, in your back end, whatever you're tracking all this?
But if they come in, you'll know it's a male. That's right.
Maybe stop. Let it go.
Because it gets deeper in that.
Do you fall under HIPAA and this kind of stuff? We should be a fellow at all, or if I know a lot of times you're dealing with medical records, that part of it.
would think so. Yeah. Okay. Personal information. And sometimes people don't want to disclose their name to, you know, confidentiality, like a phone, like she's saying a phone call. They might not want to say their name or details to us, but just be asking about services. So we don't want to detour people either by, you can't talk to us unless you let us know your name and your all this information. And people get bogged down by collecting all that demographic information. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wherever you go now, right? It's you gotta fill out everything about yourself. Which is also, we gotta consider voluntary information. So even if it did report it, it's those who choose to, and you have to respect that.
And sometimes you just need the quick answer. You know, you don't need to give your life story and find out what the phone number is.
I didn't want to spend 10 minutes answering questions. I just want to make a simple answer. So guess what? I'm not going to do that now.
Yeah.
So. People get survey fatigue.
Exactly.
I know for one, I haven't paid.
Exactly. So hoping that we can kind of get what we have compiled together and spring it forward, instead of being bogged down on this and that within the data, right? So hopefully this information is useful in one way or another. And then the next graph we have is the benefits granted by Veterans Services. So a total of, this is funny, received, or was it the claims? The claims are by month also explained below. So in the parentheses, it's average per claim. So we can see how much a claim happened and the variance of the money distribution based on the number of claims. So in a certain month, we can have, it seems like a low amount of claims. So we can go into April, for example, where there's 920 claims, but it had the highest amount of money. So there's a lot of variation there. So it's specified by month. And then we have another graph of that, the college tuition savings. Probably in December and June, which was saved. And those are the hot months with the tuition presented as well. So just some overall data highlights. Education, most veterans have some college or more in Orange County, like we talked about the correlation between the two studies. Employment, we can ensure transition to the jobs based on the training and degrees received. So it's good news that they have that training and the backing. So how can they easily transition them into those jobs? We can address the challenge of transitioning into a job after service. Because that was one of the barriers of why they were saying that they weren't getting the jobs right away. A few veterans report looking for a job in Orange County, so about 5%, but they still are. So housing, although most have a place to return to, 3 out of 20 reported not having a place to go to after service, so considering that. 13 out of the 20 veterans 55 years and older reported owning their own home or condo, which was a positive finding. Of health, for those reporting physical health symptoms, approximately 4 out of 10 are lower than their counties. Older adult veterans report cost of living, economic security as their top health issue contributor. Health care, we saw most veterans in Orange County report having health care and utilize the VHA less than other counties. Mental health concerns are less prominent compared to other counties, although 1 in 4 are still at risk of suicide, so it's still something addressing. The top contributors to mental health in older adult veterans was political climate and economic insecurity. Forever. Social connectedness, so even though older adult veterans report connecting with family and friends, 9 out of 20 veterans report feeling disconnected and isolation from an internal standpoint. Employment services are highly utilized through, so the service has the highest rate of neutral or dissatisfaction. So that was an interesting finding. Physical health services are the top additional service requested by the population. So just some considerations. So next step, as I mentioned, we're going to be using this information and what was added, comments, and any other data sources that you have. Well, we're working on that currently. And we look to utilize the data to aid in understanding the needs of Orange County, making data-driven decisions and tailoring efforts. Any questions? Yeah.
Oh, thanks for that. That was a lot of information.
Yes.
In God we trust, all others bring data, right? So I'm concerned about the data we're bringing, and particularly that number of 84,235 veterans. The number we've been using, and for instance, when the collaborative gave a presentation, we're all using the same number, which is 101,674. And that comes from, I just looked it up. I think it's, I can't tell you exactly where in VA. I can tell you the Association of California VSOs. Their footnote on that number says that it was from VA. So I would much rather, in terms of fighting for veteran services here in Orange County, being applying for grants, talking about 101,000 veterans and 84,000 veterans. So, you know, why the disconnect and what can we do? And is it possible to, you know, parse this out? And to my lights, I would trust the VA's number on how many veterans there are over the census. So why are we working on the census?
Typically, we just use the census, but we definitely can use other numbers and take a look and figure out why there's disconnects. So my first thought is we got to figure out why there's such a difference in number, not what's right, what's wrong, right? We need to figure out what's driving that. Is it that there's more homeless that aren't being tracked by the census? There's got to be a reason why. And I think that's something we definitely should dig into. And that is something that's they're being overlooked at when it comes to the census potentially.
Were you aware that the VA or CalVet put that kind of those kind of numbers out? And there's their answer. You didn't know they were saying you went off
the data. Typically, we go with the census,
We had that kind of data.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why we're here today.
Yeah,
any other data sources we'd love to hear, connect with us and we can include that.
From either of the reports, did they comment in there how they verified veteran status? Was it just self-reporting?
So for the older adult population, self-report. And for the veteran study, it was a targeted sampling. So they did it at veteran service locations.
They didn't have to provide an ED-214 or any documentation so that I know there was incentives involved in completing the service. So
yeah.
Most people are probably honest. But
I know. That's surveys, right? We get some interesting things on surveys, we'll tell you about, even the comments and the free responses, especially when there's incentives involved. And there's so it takes a lot of work to what we did a lot, and I could speak on behalf of the older adult assessment. We did a lot to validate that data. We spent a lot of time to ensure that they followed the instructions and there weren't, we select three, ensured that we only kept the group that selected three to make solutions based on that. So there was a lot of validation.
All right, thank you, Kristen. So just to clarify, all of the numbers on page, on our handout page 15, 16,
mm-hmm.
and 12, those are all, I just validated them with big boys data. So that is all from our big boys. So we're tracking those numbers. So you're using the correct numbers there as far as what we see.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
We can follow up.
And then your number 101,674, that's actually from the California Veterans, County Veterans Service Officer of the California. That's the 2023 numbers. And then the 2024 numbers will come out and will be the latest. 2022, I think, was at 104,000. So it was a little bit higher, 105,000. So it is dropping. And the projection is that it's going to drop as our older vets pass on.
Age out. Which is even more
prevalent. So we need to use this opportunity to talk about data because we We actually have a handout that they're handed out already. We'll just share it with you. I read it to Martin.
Yes, yeah. Martin.
I gave it the whole report to Martin. It has a t-test in there as well.
Awesome.
So that you could nerd that out.
Yes.
More. But anyway, so I just like to point out in this handout that I gave you. This is a partial report that I compiled. I actually took the 2023 California Veteran Service Officer report. I went to CalVet. I got the actual qualified PSRs from all 56 offices. So we did get that information. We currently have 12 in Orange. I'm sorry. We currently have 13 PSOs in the office.
Holy staff, so that's
14.
Could be a lot.
Yeah. Is it 14 or 13?
It's fully staffed.
Yeah. So these numbers represent 12 BSOs from the 2023 data. That's what the CalVet had as our veteran service qualified BSRs. So anyway, so in this data, you can see that we had almost 24,000 in-person visits, and then 11,000 phone calls. So that'd be about 35,000 contacts made. And then according to your numbers here, veteran service, 30,800, which makes sense that you'd make a phone call and then have them come in. That's seems legitimate, right? Another part that I'd like to highlight is the averages, the means of this, just taking the top larger counties, of the 56 counties that have county veteran service officers, of the 58. They break it down by large county, medium, small, and very small. So it was appropriate to break them down by like size counties. We could see that our veteran service officers above the mean as far as awards, and also another part of this information shows that we do 88 veterans per month that come through the County Veteran Service Officer, which is significant. Per BSO. If you do more than 100 of these claims in a month, the VSOs are also veterans, so they have to listen to the stories, you know, and they have to dig in and get their. So that's something as a data analyst that you want to be aware of, that you really can't just simply hire more VSOs and say, oh, we'll do more claims, because there's an impact that's VSOs, yeah. That you have to consider. They can get stressed out, and there's actually reports, yeah, that show that our VSOs get stressed out just from doing their normal work. We're doing very well in that aspect. We actually see more VSOs per day, or more veterans per day, than the other six larger counties. So so we're actually doing well on that. I submitted that report. It's in our final letter, and then you have all the data. I'd like you to slice and dice it further and see what you can tell us.
Point of information. When you got the health data and stuff, did you look at what's the best way? The advanced OC did a big thing for the county for older folks. There was a section in there on veterans. I don't know if you had a chance to see that or not. I'm just adding that some information that they had there on survey. I know they put about 10 questions.
So the older adult needs assessment that, yes, I referred to, yeah, is the data for,
yeah,
that, and we'll release the report soon, the overall,
okay,
report.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what we can pull out,
okay,
the veterans that responded to that.
Thank,
yes.
One last thing on this information that I presented, highlighted in the peach color or orange color here, San Bernardino. Just to be aware, that's an anomaly that we're still researching, because as you can see,
crazy.
How can they do, you know, 55,000 claims, even with the cost of living here and the fact that younger veterans probably could locate to San Bernardino before they can come to Orange County, right, and then file their claim. But the numbers, you know, some of these numbers are four times. So what we're thinking is that they're counting claims, like you go for one claim, and you have joint pain in the left arm and the right arm, and then, you know, maybe that's three claims, right? Well, Eric, you should be concerned, because subvention funding comes from your CalVet reports. Every 6 months, you have to give a report to CalVet. It shows you how many claims you have, right? Well, if San Bernardino is touching the numbers, then they're getting more money than us, for example. And they're
creatively finding a way to.
So that's something that we're.
It confirms the numbers, validates it through the statewide system. But so whether they're counting it, like you said, as multiple claims, the subvention would not be affected. They could be saying that they're doing three times more claims if they're counting each piece of the claim individually. But when CalVet awards our subvention, it's based on the county system. So they would not be awarded additional funding.
It's working.
Yes.
Recalibrated. That's what you're saying. There's a form that's sent them to county.
And then, even if I'm reading your columns right here, so just Orange County, for example, around 12,000 new claims.
Mm-hmm.
And then of those 12,000 new claims, that took about 35,000 contacts. So it's roughly three contacts per claim. Trying to think about what's our efficiency throughput for this.
And I have that actual column there. Efficiency by contact is 36%.
So
that's not bad.
I don't know that you can calculate it that way either, because when we talk about the number of people that we're seeing, some come in for a state of college fee waiver. It's not a claim necessarily. People call and want very simple information, and they don't necessarily turn into a claim or an appointment. So it's not apples to apples in that regard.
So we have to see
more than stratifying that data.
No, but it's, you certainly see some overarching trends. And then certainly if you could break down the data more by specifically what claims came in by county.
By the way, where's the data?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Do you know whether USC is going to try to redo the survey? Is it just something once, or is there a plan every so often to slab again?
That's a good question that I'm not sure the answer to.
This is the third one. Third or fourth, if I'm not mistaken. So
third,
two
it's the third,
third
yeah.
one. So, you know, like
we did one, but we had Orange County Community Foundation under them. With the Orange County, with the register. So that's the deal. That's why it's what SE, they use that data up there, because we need to have it funded for us.
Wow.
And we had that funding from the foundation to do one. All right. So
it would, the next time we do one of those, this might be a little off the wall, but I'd be interested to see, just given the behavioral health results that we've seen and the reasons for dissatisfaction. I would be interested to see social media use among veterans, how many hours a day, because there's so many studies coming out with teenagers and children regarding cell phone use and mental health and the effects, which is, a lot of schools now are banning cell phone use for that reason. And so I would be interested to see just if at any point, whether you're working with someone else who's doing the survey or Orange County wants to do its own survey to try to correlate that, because that might lead to, county educational programs or something like that regarding, when you interact with veterans and discussing the impacts of, social media online activity.
And a grant.
Well, that supports to the cause and scams.
Exactly.
I mean, it's all interrelated. But I would recommend, based on data, it's a lot of numbers information, take a look at it. Let me know.
We probably could.
I mean, if we can kind of figure out focuses, then maybe it's easier to get that additional information instead of just I think it was mentioned here, everyone's so surveyed out. So if there's no good focus to doing that, there's a lot of information here. What are the focuses that we want to focus on, and how could we maybe focus group, whatever, based on what the plan is to move forward and then get that information we need from the individuals and kind of go about it in that way, I would recommend. But there's a lot of general information. Like I said, the two studies, it's good when they correlate to each other, because then we know that we're kind of on this family, each other, right? We're on the right track.
No, you gave the highlights from this, but how did your office turn this data into action steps?
That's where we're hoping that maybe taking a look at what focus is, besides what Michelle mentioned, and what speech in general, what are the things that this group wants to bring forward and focus on and help with
it. Elena, there's a lot of health information in here. Did you first time seeing this as well?
Thank you so much.
Really appreciate the collaboration.
Thank you.
I have no members of the public. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's gonna make quick. So
please go ahead.
And you can waive the time requirement for him if you waive it for everyone, which is what I did last time.
So, there is no time with Nick's friend.
There is no
time. Jeopardy. So thank you very much. I'll make this quick. I wanted to talk. Well, first of all, it's great to be here. I too listening to Michelle's presentation that restructuring of this group and giving it specific direction in terms of exactly what projects to work on, I think is just really marvelous. Because otherwise, you just keep spinning around. And now, you know, we know here's the projects that can help the county. One of those I'm very self-interested in is cemetery. Do you know the cemetery is the number one county legislative priority this year? So being the number one legislative priority in so those of you that don't know, I represented employees in this county for 51 years and through a few legislative years. I know I don't look old, but I die my roots. The fact is, I think that's really good stuff because it really, that's what we need in terms of county. I talked to every single member of the board supervisors at great length about this, former CEO, this CEO, this staff, too, about how do we take the veteran community and how do we make it a real voice, you know? And the only way we make it a real voice is working together, leveraging all the things that we have in the county for leverage. And like, I'm the president of Valor, which, you know, was the first thing I think that recognized with Valor was we need to partner with somebody very, very big because we need a lot of money, we need a lot of help, you know, a lot of legislative help. So, you know, we have to, because you can't do it on your own. So the cemetery is number one on the county's list right now. In terms of the veteran community, the county's invested $20 million in it. And, you know, we took this all the way through everywhere you had to go through. We had 34 members of the, all 34 city council members. We even have a former mayor here who stopped the meeting because his council wasn't going the right direction. And we figured that out together because I happened to be at the meeting. And so we worked that out. So we were getting ready to turn dirt. That's how close we were. And what happened was Larry Agron, this guy from Irvine, the only elected official in the entire county, that includes the state, federal, board of supervisors and city councils, the only elected official in the county. And so he first took us to court saying that, you know, we had to go to court because the issue was the county shouldn't be able to intervene in a lawsuit. The judge about, you know, had a heart attack going, wait a second, the county just, it's a county property, it could be the county cemetery, and so the county $20 million to build it. I think that they have interest, so he lost that. Then we filed a demurrer to kick his whole case out. The judge said, he's basically said, agreed with us that the case should be kicked out. State of California, you get an option to amend before you get kicked out. And that's what they filed, is their, you know, option to amend. We still hope the thing will get kicked out. If it does, we should move pretty quickly because the city of Anaheim is right on top of it. The city of Anaheim is working very, very hard, as well as this Orange County Cemetery District, as well as the county. I want to thank Dylan and Renee in particular. They have been marvelous in this effort. They have been just strong stalwarts for getting this cemetery done. The county wants to hurry up and get it done. We need to hurry up and get it done. Because when you talk about spending money, as you as a group, I'm going to advise you outside, there ain't going to be no money spent. I mean, the budget looks really grim. And it's becoming grimmer by the day because now we think that the county is going to be on the hook for $300 million. And that look or 30, I think it's 300. It's and that is coming closer each day. So there's a lot to get done. We need your help. And I hope that as you know, you format this, that the cemetery will be the number one issue for as you pick two or three issues to go through in the next year, which ones you'll work on. How do we need your help? We're going to need your help with writing letters. We're going to need your help in support of legislation. We're going to need your help to go to city council meetings. We're going to divide them up on this committee and other committees to go to city council meetings, to make the presentations, to write city council people, maybe go to legislative meetings. There's a ton of stuff we all need to do. And this is what the county needs to do. You heard the CEO. It's just a massive amount of work on the cemetery thing because we're so close. And, you know, you keep running, but all of you know as veterans, if they put something in the way, then, you know, we got to knock again. So that's all I wanted to do. That's my time. Thank you all. I thank you all very, very much. Appreciate it.
Good job. Good job. Thank you.
Can we email you and ask you questions?
Oh, yeah. We'll work through. I think how... and discussions
finished
real quickly.
got a big one.
You damn Marines. You know, I would say most of Bobby saying somebody's talking much is like the pot tongue black.
Yeah.
But we won't go into that. I mean, this guy, I mean, you know.
Don't worry about him. Just answer his question.
No, So,
yes,
anyway, he spent too much time on us. You know, too much time washing decks. But I think how we're going to organize this, and I think I talked to the chair and the former chair, vice chair. I think we're going to organize it so we'll work through here, so that I will send the information to them, the group send it here, because I think the idea is to keep everything now moving and moving in a very organized, you know, in a very organized way and get it all, but I'll get you the information. Okay, I want to leave.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All of you.
All right, are there any other public comments? Our next action item is actually the annual report. And did we hand out that report?
Yes.
Okay, yes, we did a draft, and we'd like to, I think, with this information.
What's the draft?
You can't get in, you got to have a code.
Anything
more than three numbers, you know, Marines have problems. 0331.
That's
four numbers. 0331. It'll be fine.
So this is essentially last year's, we updated it, we added some more information, but I would like to just amend this and add actual goal and to add something about this. I got it that we kind of weren't really tasked with talking about the cemetery. I got bucked one time when I tried to bring it up. So I'd like to add a goal is that we'd like to spearhead or
veteran feedback on the cemetery project.
Yeah, something. Can we talk about a bullet point? So if you just go to section four of the letter. Well, first goal was to continue doing our monthly outreach or rotating our meeting. With our ad hocs. And then I'd like to add a goal that says ARCVET will support pursuing
I don't think we can support it. Can we say like ARCVET intends to collect veteran feedback concerning the veteran cemetery in Orange County and present it to the Board of Supervisors or something like that? Because I mean, that's that kind of keeps in line. Like, I don't think technically we can support anything as OCBAC. Is that, I mean, is that what we want to do? Is that what we're envisioning? Like that?
We did write a letter of support.
Because the county already supported it.
We're
so
supporting
if the county supports, then you guys can support
it. You can actually advocate.
Extension of, but yes.
Okay, we'll continue advocating.
Is that about has taken a position and it's a supportive position?
Okay, well, then that's easy.
Yeah,
I think we can say, OCBAC will continue advocating support the Orange County Veterans Cemetery and sharing veteran feedback with the Board of Supervisors or something like that. Collecting and sharing feedback with the Board of Supervisors.
Maybe breaking it down by supervisorial district. In other words, you know,
by collecting data.
Just keep it simple.
I would even say data would come in. Maybe just you're going to support it. How you guys decide to support it is up to you.
It could be a very basic, easy sentence.
Yeah. We have that. We'll say, we'll continue to advocate. And support for the OC Veterans Cemetery.
This is an amendment to the report. Yeah. So and it's an OCBAC report. So yeah, we would that you submitted so we can document the amendment, but we'll get an updated version of it.
But put in your own words. Just
No. We can put it in our words right here. Yeah. So it says because what we haven't voted this or whatever yet. So this is the purpose is for us to discuss, advise, and then vote on the final copy. And we can send you a word copy as amended, but we need to agree on the language. So I would just say OCBAC will continue to advocate for and support the Veterans Cemetery.
Orange County Veterans Cemetery.
And collect and share veterans information with the Board of Supervisors. Or feedback.
Don't overextend.
That's our job.
Don't overextend.
Yeah, I think we'll just keep
that's
it.
Job.
We can just interpret any suggestions. I think we'll just keep it to the one sentence, and then how we go about doing that is kind of up to us.
Yeah.
This is just a big picture.
Yeah, just on
that. So that I think. So we can put that in what the, do you want to put that as the priority since it's the number one legislative priority of the county? So we can put that in as the first paragraph under subdivision 4. And then do we want to say anything about data, the data? Under, right, so we have it, you have it under the accomplishments and then we have. I don't see it under goals. Do we have it under goals? Is it yet? Actually, it looks like a paragraph was deleted from the version that was circulated. Next. Right, isn't there supposed to be one of the something within OCBAC 2025 goals talking about the use of data? We have anything in there?
But was this put out before we got any information?
No, but I guess in light of the information, maybe we can put a goal for ourselves in this report. In light of like sharing data, assist or to make recommendations regarding priorities and focus of priorities learned from the data. What I got from the presentation is okay, OCBAC, here's the data we collected. See how this is useful and make some recommendations to the board based on kind of what you've seen. So I think that should be in for 2025 goals too, and maybe the second goal, right? So, I mean, do you guys all generally agree?
Oh, absolutely. So it's an actual thing we do, similar to what you did with the BSO metrics, and find other data that's publicly available information and make recommendations to the board.
But since it's county body.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm down, so I got to run.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
So, proposals for language. So, they make recommendations to the Board of Supervisors based on data presented in the Orange County Veterans Data Report. Done
How about just to utilize information from the county's data analytics? Is it a department or office or?
It's part of the CEO.
The CEO's data analytics to make to inform our recommendations.
Inform the veterans community.
So that's true. Inform the veterans community about this data.
You see,
can you say coordinate with the data analytics department or even the CTO's office concerning veterans
if
data analytics?
Yeah, maybe you just want to say the county.
Yeah.
So CEO or BSO.
Yeah, but I mean, I want to identify, like, because I mean, we're establishing our priorities and like kind of making recommendations is normally what we do. And so,
based on data platform.
Yeah. Make recommendations regarding veteran service priorities. Priorities based on county provided data. And that essentially.
Yep.
So.
Another reliable sources.
Yeah.
You don't link yourself to just what we have.
No, I get it. But like we normally do that. Like that's in our bylaws that we're supposed to reach out, make recommendations and stuff. So I really want to highlight to the Board of Supervisors. Yes, we've received the data. We found it.
Right.
So we want to process and then priorities and make recommendations based specifically kind of like on that data in addition to other sources. So maybe just say in addition to recommendations. Veteran service priorities. Priorities and needs. Based county provided. Veterans data and other sources. That sound good?
Yep.
That sound good, everyone? Okay, so that would be, so the first paragraph, we talk about the cemetery. UNCVAC will continue to advocate for and support the Orange County Veterans Cemetery is the first paragraph inserted under subdivision four. Second would be make recommendations on veteran service priorities and needs based on county provided veterans data and other sources as the second paragraph. Those would be the two revisions to the draft.
Excellent.
That and maybe make a motion
yes.
Based on that with the two provisions.
Motion to amend the draft to include the two provisions as presented by Alexis and then send that out.
I'll second.
Good. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Perfect. Thank you.
Any
opposed?
Keep going. You want to get
it? All right. And then can you write those up for those? Edit it and then prepare it. Send it.
I can just send you a new version.
Yeah,
we
don't. I'll
do that. But
yeah,
I can
sign it.
Want to make
sure it's
sort of
report.
Yep.
Got it.
All right. Eric.
Come up. All right. Great. Thank you. Well, I'm pretty excited to hear quite a bit about VSO. One, fully staffed. We have added since the last meeting. We've added two new claims representative staffs, bringing our total to our claims rep to 10, including Supervisor Vargas. Is it coached by Vargas? His name is Bobby Aiken Vargas. He's
excellent choice.
No relation. But he's got an extensive history with VA. He's a VA, been to the Portland Regional Office, where I came from, as well as San Diego, Los Angeles. He spent some time in the ratings team. He was supervised quite a few people in ratings, so he's bringing to the VSO out of that first experience to help our team as well with rescuing my claims. So, whatever unique needs to bring the VSO to the team.
some notable things that I feel like it, we need to mention that I don't think we've got a chance to talk quite a bit about regarding VSO. So we have our veterans employment team addressing quite a bit of the barriers that veterans are experiencing when navigating reintegration back into the workforce. We have two accredited representatives with that team. We also have our Mental Health Services Act navigating that case value. Since that grant's inception for this fiscal year, July, we were tasked in that grant over 2 years to serve 160 veterans. We're already at 159 veterans who, with that specific grant, who and their family members who may be experiencing behavioral health issues, accessing resources, navigating our system of care through whether it's the VA or county. She's our navigator, Caitlin, has been very proficient at keeping up to speed with helping those veterans who identify in some of this data. 55 and older is a nice part target population that I'm represented. For her to connect with those families, including our justice involvement, so I think we've covered quite a bit of where veterans may be facing a lot of the barriers access and services. We've got a lot of capacity to work with our partners in the community as well as county, trying to make sure veterans have access to our services. Our wait times, we're under a week, making sure veterans can get scheduled appointments, but also same-day appointments or walk-ins where people walk into the office. I don't know how many of you came to our office, but you can see it was pretty. They got maybe one or two people maybe waiting and just arrived, but we make sure that people can see access to the services that they've already known.
And just to clarify, because you have, you're the VSO, we have a supervisor VSO, and then I have down on the positions sheet that you gave me, 13 veterans claims reps. Yes.
So I'm including my veterans employment team with that because they are accredited.
So how many do we have total?
13? Total 10 claims reps, supervisor myself, that's 12. Our admin staff is two. Who are also accredited. One of them is waiting on their accreditation.
Uh-huh.
And our two veterans employment representatives.
So you have a new veterans employment person now?
We've already had coordinators, manager positions.
Thank you.
Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Nice to be here.
Happy New Year. Yeah. All right. And then, London.
So for our OC for Vets team, I am very happy to report that we are all, our clinical positions are all full as well. We hired our newest clinician on December 27th, so that fills up our clinical team. She's a Navy veteran, who's a chaplain in the Navy, comes with a lot of experience working with different people, couples, families. So, really look forward to getting her started. She'll start seeing her first client tomorrow. So she's extremely motivated. Our people usually don't get up and running for over a month. She's kind of putting the cart before the horse, but she's ready to go, and I'm happy to let her go. So we were lucky enough that even with the large numbers that we've been getting, they have been increasing. Eric mentioned Caitlin. She's been wonderful. We've kept great open lines of communication, a lot of referrals back and forth through cases and the other rep, but never had to go on a wait list. So I was very happy. But Angela came just in time for that. Our team is looking forward to tabling resource events coming up at the next couple of months. We have four for sure, and I want to touch base with you on the Women Veteran Conference you mentioned last time, to promote mental health services, including those super vets. And just put it out there, HCA is having a hiring fair on January 31st. And I really wish that I had a flyer for that, but I can share that when I get it. Positions that they're hiring for mental health workers, what we call 1, 2, and 3, and mental health specialists. Certainly, as you probably know, we have a better preference for positions, county positions. So anybody looking for work in the county in mental health, hiring fair, when they do those fairs, they hire on the spot. So positions that we look for are peers. So that could be a person with lived experience with mental health or family member who have mental health issues. But that's the kind of position. So we like to find veterans for sure. I know that Ben's not here, but I know one of the events that we're going to be tabling is the CalVet CalTech OC Veterans Community Network and Resource Fair. That's going to be on March 14th at Golden West College. That's one of our events where a lot of people come, even from outside of the city. I just remember a couple that came all the way from North LA County. I forgot exactly where. Alpadena, Alpadena, something like a place like that, just to get help. The guy was diabetic and off his meds because his meds were $400 a month. And we were able to connect them with DSO. They had no idea about benefits or anything. And the guy was going without his diabetes. And so I really like this event, promote this event, because a lot of people hear about it. And there are a lot of good resources that come to this event.
Went to it last year. It was very good. And I promoted schools at the college too.
Yes.
So
I think there could be more attendance with the fires being pushed into this area.
I'm sorry.
You know, with the fire situation and people being displaced, do you think that, you know, is there any sign that your services are being used by that? But people, is there people moving into Orange County right now?
Yeah. We haven't seen it specifically in our office. Maybe they haven't, it hasn't hit them yet. They're needing to take care of their immediate body housing needs. But we haven't seen it yet, but something that we've been anticipating. We have people with their voucher looking for apartments, kind of like not hurrying. It's like, go get those apartments because they're moving in from outside the county. But I haven't seen that yet.
If you like. All right, our committees. Robert, you got anything on communications you'd like to share?
Robert, who? Oh, you're talking about me. I have, as I just mentioned, the March Women Veterans Symposium, which will be on mental health, will be March the 8th at Orange Coast College. And it's being sponsored by the VFW and Supervisor Napoleon cast 1,000. And so that's going to be there. We will have the Orange Coast College, the Coastline College, and also Golden West College VSOs, veterans groups there. We'll have a bunch of tabletops. We will probably be releasing the flyer and stuff right after the February 6th meeting we have with the supervisor. But all things are on board. It will be coffee and donuts in the morning are supposed to be healthy, so coffee and donuts support. And the lunch, we do have Dr. Kelly's on board, so we have some pretty good people that are going to be there. And I forget this, is Sisno
Fong? Dr. CK.
CK, okay. Dr. CK, who's Navy? Yes, he's Navy. She'll be there. So we've got a real, real nice panel and set up for that. Going forward, I will be setting up, hopefully for the next meeting, have a list of some of the Memorial Day staples and Veterans Day staples that are here. And so we add to it. The other piece is I'm working now with Heroes Hall and the Denise community to work with the Black April, so 15th anniversary. So we're looking at April. I think it's going to be April 26th at Heroes Hall, so we're working on that. And then other than that, I'll have for you a link
updating the Orange County Black Chamber website, and there is a Veteran Services page there that has a list of everything from Orange County, all the county, and all the state, I mean, federal. So if anybody needs some information or needs some help or a hotline, they can click and go.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That's my report. Thank you.
All right, Michael left, so we'll anything something on the.
I know it's been a long meeting, but I do have some things to report. So, just to sort of review it, we got this report from Ben Calvet that number one reason that veterans, there were over 100 veterans that turned down offers of permanent housing, and what we were told was that the number one reason was that they couldn't take their pets with them. I've been kicking this around, and I've gone to two meetings of the Orange County housing group, and suddenly that doesn't appear to be the case. In fact, all the permanent supported housing do allow pets, and one thing I've spoken a lot about vets that might get HUD vouchers and go into private housing, they should be able to bring their pets with them, but there are a couple of smaller obstacles. So for instance, if you've got this HUD voucher and want to go to an apartment complex, what you need is you need a letter from a mental health professional certifying that your pet is your emotional support animal. One potential problem with that is it just can't be done with the snapping of fingers. Somebody has to be in the care of that mental health professional for a period of time before they get that letter, because otherwise it's just a paper mail. I also looked into the other obstacle that people are having sometimes with permanent supportive housing is the pets don't have their shot. So that has been a problem. I think they've been sort of ad hocing it. Thanks to Renee, I spoke to Amy Hernandez at Orange County Animal Care. And I won't go into all the details, but basically, if you're in a city that has animal care, you're supposed to be able to get the shots for $14 in a city. And then if you're not in a city that has its own animal care, you can do the same with Orange County. And the gist of it is, I don't see it necessarily an obstacle in their resources, but it's complicated where they all are. So based on your guidance, what I'd like to suggest is that we try and put together a list of the resources that are there for veterans and maybe low-income people to help treat their pets. And then we put that in one-stop shopping on a one-pager that eventually the county can change the way it needs to, but we'll sort of make a general recommendation so that service providers can have it. Because it's really complicated, like where you live, what you're getting, and what, you know, whether you're a veteran, whether you're low-income. And I'd like that all to be accessible so that pets aren't any kind of an obstacle and people getting services feel they can carry their vets into their housing. The last thing I'll say is I spoke to Penny Lambright today. We played phone tag for a long time. Penny Lambright runs Patriots and Paws.
Yes, yeah.
And she would like to be able to have a center, and she's been advocating for this for years. She'd like to have a physical location where veterans can bring service animals. Their animals, their pets, if you know they need to go into the hospital, or you know they have to be away, or so she would like to be able to board cats and dogs, man. And so she's advocating for that. I suggested, she's been advocating for it for years. I know I'm trying to get a property that the county doesn't want used for that purpose. She would like to make a presentation to OFAC about her interest in doing this, and I told her I would speak to the chair. That's the conclusion.
One
of the things too, I know a lot of like San Clemente, Dana Point Animal Shelter, and a lot of animal shelters, if you're unhoused or homeless and you need to drop off your pet while you're looking and whatever, and that they have, because I know our shelter has done it numerous times where they've watched the animal for 30 days or whatever and cared for it. And whatever, and it seems like also touching base with some of the shelters, getting, you know, at least through OC Animal Care and some of the other shelters, like if there's some kind of program where we have a veteran who wants to seek housing and their you know apartment allows it, or they just need to wait shots, that that animal can be at that shelter until the shots are given. Or
you anticipate there being different standards for each shelter?
Yeah, based on community. Yeah, so then you know I know like So Mission Viejo has its own animal shelter that's, you know, run by the city. The city establishes its own priorities, including whether it's like a no-kill shelter or whether it's not, how long they hold the animals for. I mean, all that is established. So if you're not a member of OC Animal Care, so OC Animal Care is basically contracted through various cities. But a lot of cities have their own shelter or own agreement. Like I think San Juan Capistrano goes with Mission Viejo. So it's not as like simple as like,
yeah.
I live here.
One
San Clemente and Dana Point have a joint powers agreement where they run a shelter together. So it can vary city by city.
Certainly make a presentation, but what would be the goal from this board?
I think she would like us, she wants to make a recommendation to supervisors that they help her establish. I think she feels she has the funding to do it, but she needs the power. But she, I think that's what she wants to pitch on, you know. I did.
Any discussion?
So I'll try and have something written about what I've been able to ascertain to the general resources. I don't think it'll be encyclopedic, but I'll try and have that for our March meeting.
Sure.
And I did forget to mention, this is really interesting. There's a woman named Deborah Kopit who started an organization called HEART, and they have a mobile vet clinic that travels around the county. It's contracted with certain cities, but it's specifically designed to help low-income people, you know, get veterinary care.
I mean, I wonder, instead of going like city by city and stuff, if it was better to make a recommendation to the county that they create a voucher program where they can turn it into, you know, a vet's office or they have some provider, whether it's this mobile clinic or whether it's you just take your, because I don't know whether OC Animal Care has staff that can give vaccinations, because I know like San Clemente Dana Point does. And so if
they do, but the question is what they'll charge you based on which city you're from.
Right.
Because they will send you to your city for shots. If the city has its own animal care.
Right. But maybe it makes sense if you don't have housing, right? Like where is really your city? And if you're trying to get in, if the problem you're trying to solve is getting veterans or on the streets or living out of their car or not into permanent supportive housing and the obstacles, the animals don't have those shots, then it seems like we can make a recommendation, you know, that there's some type of voucher program where any of these people, regardless of whether they parked their car that evening, could go to OC Animal Care and say, hey, can I get either low cost or no cost for these animals?
Yeah, or maybe this organization, HEART, since they're mobile.
Yeah.
It's a Tustin to the OC Animal Care facility if you're in South County. You're,
sure.
You're Fullerton. I'll try and put that together.
Okay, thank you. All right, so there's nothing else to come for the meeting. We're dark in February and we'll resume in March 12th. Again, and location to be determined. Well, if anybody has an office, the location that you would recommend, and you keep on moving it around, I think that we should discuss that. Thank you.
Jared?
Thank you, Sharon.